You're listening to the Hey Presley Podcast with Shelby Lawson.
I know it's hard. I know it's hard to give yourself a break because we all have grown up in this society where we feel like we have to be perfect or we have to be better all the time. But, you know, you're just so amazing the way that you are, and you have so much to offer the world outside of how you look.
Hey friends, so if you listened to the last episode with Taylor Rae and Tommy Mac, you'll know that Taylor Rae is launching her first YTT or yoga teacher training in January of 2019, and her curriculum actually includes a section led by today's guest, Shelby Lawson. And if you didn't listen to the episode, make sure you go listen to that after you finish this one because it's definitely one of my favorites. So Shelby is the founder of BloomFit Training, which is an organization that not only starts the conversation on body positivity, but also teaches coaches in the health and fitness space how to better help their clients as it relates to body image and self-love. Fitness professionals who take their course are certified as body positive coaches, and their workshops for workplace groups and the general public bring together groups of people to better understand their current relationship with their body image and how to improve that to enhance the quality of their life going forward. In this interview, Shelby gives you tangible ways to break the cycle and speak more kindly to yourself. And I know that's something all of us can work on or even help someone else by using the takeaways in this episode. Let's dive in. Shelby, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited. So I want to begin with a quote that I read on your online bio that really struck me. And that is, if working out is my job, then I'll get the body I want, and then I'll finally be happy. Quote. Can you expand on the context of this quote a little bit?
Yeah, of course. It really has been kind of the message of my whole life up until this point, like thinking like, okay, when I get that body, when I look this way, when I lose this many pounds, when I get the flat stomach, then I'll finally be happy with myself and in my life. And then all these wonderful things will happen and I'll stop holding myself back from whatever I want to do. And at that time, I mean, that specific quote was talking about when I got into being a group fitness instructor and personal trainer. I started teaching fitness at Arizona State University when I was a freshman. And I really got into it because at the time I was really uncomfortable with my body and I wanted to work out and I wanted to know more about fitness and working out. And I thought, okay, if I know everything about fitness, if I am a group fitness instructor and I'm working out all the time on top of having all the knowledge that instructors have to make a bikini body, then I'll have the body and then I'll be happy. So that's really where that came from.
Yeah. And so take me back to the beginning a little bit so we can understand more about like where this passion for wanting to feel better in your skin comes from. Like, how would you describe your relationship with your body image growing up?
When I was really young, so like until probably I was about 8 years old, I was even lankier and taller than I am right now. I mean, you can't see me on the podcast, but I'm like 5'9", and I have these long monkey arms and legs. Like, I look like a spider. And I was even more like that when I was little. And right away, I got the message that having a really long, thin body was a good thing. Like, people telling me, oh, you're so small, you're so tiny and cute. And then when I hit around puberty, I was starting to put on, you know, that preteen weight in my body. And right away, I got those different messages like, oh, you're putting on a little weight around your midline. Like, maybe we should cut back on your butter, on your broccoli, or, you know, just a little bit of poking and prodding from people that loved me, you know, from my mom and from my grandma. And so then I got the message pretty early that putting on weight was a bad thing. And that continued. I mean, I think I remember going on something of a diet or thinking about restricting food when I was a preteen, probably around 10 to 12 years old.
Yeah, that's young.
I know. I think a lot of us, I mean, when was your first diet, would you say?
I think it was like middle school, like end of middle school, probably like 7th, 8th grade was when it really started. But 10 to, you know, 12 years old, that's like 5th grade into, you know, your first 6th grade kind of beginning of middle school.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's one thing that I touch on in my training is that the age for dieting is getting younger and younger. Like, we're seeing girls who are like 7 years old who are already going on diets, and girls as young as like 5 years old who are already conscious about how they look and their weight. So, you know, that's not, I don't think that's an unusual experience that we had.
Yeah.
And then I got into the world of ballet. So I started dancing, I think when I was about 10 years old. I went to the same studio that my mom went to when she was growing up and my aunt went to. And the dance world, I don't know if you ever danced.
I didn't. I always wish I did, but I didn't.
And dancing is wonderful for so many reasons. Like, it taught me discipline. It got me more connected with my body, but it also was really hard on my body image.
Yeah.
Especially the type of dance that I was in, that ballet world. And when I was in ninth grade, I kind of got serious about it. And I was like, okay, well, I like this. Like, maybe I could be good at this.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to be a prima ballerina. So I started dancing, not in addition to the hour and a half that I was dancing with my school, because I went to an art school, Arizona School for the Arts.
Oh, cool.
In addition to that, I was doing two or three classes afterwards, after school.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, dancing.
Yeah.
And the message was, you have to have a thin body, right? And I thought, I mean, again, I'm now really, like, lengthy and, like, have a pretty thin body. But I thought that I was probably 10 pounds lighter than I am today, and thought that I still needed to lose another 15, 20 pounds if I was going to be, like, prima ballerina.
Yeah.
Again, if I was going to be happy with my body. And so that took a really big toll on me. So that's pretty much, like, my
kind of growing up.
Yeah. The growing up from being little to end of high school.
Yeah. And so I read that you spent a year in Germany. What was that, in high school?
That was right after high school.
Awesome. Yeah. And how did that impact your, I mean, obviously whenever you're traveling, but especially spending a year out of the country, how did that impact, like, your fitness and your ballet goals and your nutrition and all of that stuff?
Yeah. So at that point I was totally sick of ballet. I was like, get me out of here. I don't want to do it anymore. I was so stoked to go to Germany. I am German, actually. My grandma came here from there like 40 years ago. So at first I was like stoked. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to eat all this sausage,
right,
and like drink all the beer and have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
And then I lived with a host family for 10 months.
Wow.
And it was an amazing experience, and they are such a lovely family. Like, I can't even tell you how lucky I got to get them as a family. And it was a really different experience for me. Like, I grew up with a single mom, so we were never really like a tight-knit family, but this was like mom, dad, two girls.
Yeah.
So they were like always together, and like doing things together was really important, and eating together was really important.
Yeah.
And so I was eating just a lot more than I was when I was in high school. I mean, my whole time in high school in that ballet era, I was pretty much in a constant stage of semi-starvation and binging. Not
right.
Super, I mean, I don't want to like invalidate my experience, but like,
sure,
not super extreme, but some extent of like
restricting
and
yeah,
binging. Like, I remember I would wake up some mornings and think like, how long can I go without eating?
Yeah.
And then when I did eat, I felt like so guilty, like,
right,
oh, you can't control yourself. Oh my gosh. So when I got to Germany, it was like, let loose, wild party,
yeah,
cake and tea every day, beer with dinner. And I gained like 15, 20 pounds
yeah,
when I was there.
Oh.
And I was horrified, like horrified. I'd never felt that out of control of my body. And it became like an obsession for me. Like, I was really focused on that weight and felt really uncomfortable in my body. And it kind of took over a lot of the other experiences that I was having. Like, I was constantly thinking about times where I could go exercise. Like, I was thinking about when I could restrict food, and I was feeling guilty every time we would sit down for a delicious meal prepared
yeah,
by my host mom, just really missing out on those moments. And it, I mean, when I look back at that time, I really just think about how much joy and fun that I missed out on because I was so worried about what I looked like and how much I weighed.
Yeah. And I tell my clients that all the time. I mean, there's like that phrase, like memories over macros, right? Like it's important to have, you know, balanced nutrients in your body, but do you really want to look back at the end of your life and be like, wow, I didn't go to that pool party because I didn't feel good in a swimsuit and I didn't, you know, go do this thing. It like gives you chills to think about that's the way that you would live your life, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And so how did you manage that when you got back? So you got back after, you know, 10 months, close to a year, you've gained some weight and, you know, you're probably still not in a better position with your body confidence. So what did you do next?
Then I went into full weight loss mode. I was really strict about my diet. I was exercising twice a day. I was about to start college. So kind of like, I was afraid that I was already going into college with the freshman 15.
Yeah.
Holy shit. No. So I really just spent the summer. I got back in like July, I think. And I spent the rest of that summer just really trying to lose weight. And even into my first semester of college, I was just really focused. I was like really strict on waking up every morning and running and weightlifting. And in a way that felt a little bit obsessive. And then that second semester is when I got into group fitness and I really was like, okay, this is the last straw. Like, this is what's going to push me to finally get that body, finally get that thing that I've been chasing my whole life.
Secret that I haven't found yet.
Mm-hmm. And so you became a group fitness instructor, and was there something, where did the transition happen from starting to teach group fitness to learning more about body positivity and really kind of getting passionate about that?
Yeah, I started group fitness, I think as most people do, just kind of like,
it's like accountability and fun.
Yeah. And like, you know, where I'm, and I, more than anything, when you start teaching, I think you start by echoing the messages that you hear from the people who trained you or for the people that you admire as instructors. And so I was kind of just echoing those same messages that I always hear in the fitness industry. Like, all right, like, let's do another set of crunches for our six pack for spring break, or it's about to be bikini season, or let's get another set of squats for those booties, like, you know, stuff like that. Really aesthetic based cues. And I did that for a while. I mean, as I was in the fitness world and I was teaching classes and making friends there and just really getting to know my participants, it became so much more for me. Like, I was seeing how fitness could be about more than just looking good. I felt stronger in my body. I felt like I had a better community. I felt just happier in life from constantly or from regularly moving my body and having like an exercise practice. And then I think a turning point for me was when I took my first women's studies class. And I wish that I had taken so many more women's studies class, because this one was just so good for my life and just really flipped my perspective on things. And it wasn't like crazy in-depth stuff. It was just kind of like that basic, like, hey, we live in a patriarchal society. Like, we live in a society where women are based or have been told that their looks is the best thing that they can bring to the table and that everything else comes secondary. And we also live in a world where we are constantly being shown images of unrealistic bodies, of bodies that are overly edited, that are overly makeup, that are that have had surgery, and that this ideal of what the perfect woman should look like is getting more and more hard to attain.
Yeah.
So that was really when I was like, oh, hold up, like, wait a second. And I started getting into the body positivity world. I started following body positive accounts. I did like a clean sweep of my Instagram and kind of got all the fitspo off of there because it was just making me feel like shit anyways.
Yeah.
And kind of like flipped over to this more body positive messaging in my life. And yeah, that's how I think it started.
That's awesome. And so how did that change the cues that you gave in your class? And I'm sure you'll segue into this, but you kind of briefly mentioned before we started chatting today about helping a participant of one of your classes kind of through her anorexia recovery kind of inadvertently. So how did you kind of change the way you were teaching your classes to mold that new passion? And tell me a little bit about that story.
Yeah, so I think it was around that time that I decided. So I think around that time, I was just having a greater awareness of what was going on around me and what we think about ourselves as women and of other women and why. And I was noticing that so many of my participants and just like people in general who come to the gym were coming because they hated their bodies and they wanted to change them. And it was resulting in just like this overall feeling of like, oh, I gotta go to the gym because I have to run, because I have to look good in my bikini this spring break. And at that same time, I was, you know, really in deep into the positive benefits of fitness and how wonderful it can make your life. And so I became dedicated to spreading the message in my classes that fitness wasn't all about how you looked and that we come to the gym to take care of our bodies because we love them, not because we hate them and want to change them. And so I started doing that in my classes. I started saying things like, there's no wrong way to have a body. Like, let's come here to have fun. Like, that was always when I was like, okay, these are the things you have to think about in class. Yeah. You have to think about engaging your core muscles. You have to think about moving your body and you have to think about having fun. Like, those are the three things. And I taught this class called Grind. I don't know if you know what Grind is. Okay, so it's like sexy Zumba, basically.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And of course, they teach that at ASU.
It's awesome. My friend Jenny Swenson made it, and it's, I mean, it's
but if
wonderful.
It gets people moving, I mean, that's the funny part, like appeal to your audience.
Yeah, no kidding. And it is, I mean, there's so many reasons that class is wonderful, but one of the reasons is because it's like allowing you to move in a way that's sexy. Yeah. And I think a lot of girls came into the class like, oh, so self-conscious. But after a couple of classes, they were like, oh, like I can feel sexy too, even though I don't look like what we normally see as the ideal picture of sexy. And so that was the perfect platform really for me to start really spreading these messages. Yeah. So sometimes even before class, I would be like, you know what? There's no wrong way to move your body. Like, we all have different bodies in this room. We all are beautiful. We all deserve to be here and deserve to feel good in our own skin. And it was, I mean, that was my favorite part of the week, was to be able to go there and like more than even preparing the dances, I was preparing like what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And yeah, the response was just amazing. Like, participants coming up and telling me that it was the best part of their week, that it helped them to feel more confident in themselves and their skin as they were, you know, dealing with all these school pressures and just like general pressures of being like in your early 20s.
And
one girl who was consistently coming to class, she told me that she had been struggling with anorexia recovery at the beginning of the semester, and that being able to look forward to my class and the positivity of those messages really had helped her through some of that recovery and to form a healthier relationship with movement and fitness that previously looked like restriction and or over-exercising.
Wow.
So yeah, it was, I mean, and that was really when I was like, okay, this is something big. Like, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I you know, coming from bodybuilding where you're literally, you know, win based on how you look. When I found CrossFit, I'll never forget my first day I walked in and, you know, CrossFit, functional fitness, whatever you're doing that's focusing more on movement. I remember when I went in and the girl at the front desk was like, I said, oh, I'm new. I've never done CrossFit before. Like, I'm here for like one-on-one or whatever. And she's like, you have big quads, you'll fit in here. And I was like, how cool is that? Because my last coach hated my quads and was like, told me they were too big for, you know, my stage bikini. And it was such a, and while it was still kind of focused on body image, mm-hmm. it was very like, hey, here we value strength and effort and consistency and how good you are to your community. And I was like, wow, what a cool concept. Because the really cool thing, and I'm sure people in your class started to realize this too, is by focusing less on your body and more on what it can do, the other stuff comes along with it.
Yeah.
Like, you start to look better anyway, and then you're not obsessing about that and you're getting to enjoy all these other experiences.
Right.
Wow. That's great.
That's awesome.
And so then how did that transition to BloomFit, and where does the name come from, and then kind of how was that founded?
Yeah. So, I started actually BloomFit with my best friend, Stefania Oakes. We started group fitness together at ASU. So we started teaching at the same time. And when we graduated college, we were like, okay, let's start something. Like, we were so energized and had felt like really creative. And so we were just sitting in a park in San Diego one day and just talking about ideas and thinking about where we had expertise. And so we started with the idea of training university group fitness instructors and personal trainers, because we got training, but it wasn't like really intensive.
Yeah.
And we thought that that could be an area of growth. And we were like, okay, yeah. And then we'll just include like a section about body positivity, because like we're into that now. And we were, one, really into flowers, just loved them, really loving succulents, and wanted to use that as our marketing. So we thought, as we're talking about training these budding instructors, we thought this would be a program to help them bloom, yeah. to help them blossom. And so we were playing around with Blossom for a while, and that just wasn't working. So that's where Bloom Fit comes from. So yeah, we were going to do just like a general training for group fitness instructors, and ASU has just been so wonderful in the origins of Bloom. Like, they were our first client, like they were so supportive of our journey. And so we eventually just saw that there was so much more to this body positivity aspect than we had like previously thought. And so I was like, okay, well, let's just make a training that's all about body positivity.
Yeah.
And at the time too, I was looking around, I was like, okay, there's gotta be something else that's like talking about body image and fitness around there. And there is one other company, but we were like, okay, this is really somewhere where we could, there's a need for just the simple. And that's, I mean, at its core, my simplest mission is just to start conversation on body image and fitness. Because how often do you just get to sit down with people and talk about why you're coming to the gym in the first place? Like, what the messages have been that have formed your relationship with your body, what the struggles that you've been through, because we've all been through struggles with our bodies.
Absolutely.
And use that to create a more intentional practice of fitness.
Yeah.
That is hopefully centered around taking care of your body rather than punishing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you lead like workshops and certifications, right, through Bloom Fit that trains. Does it only train personal trainers and group fitness instructors, or do you also do it for like the general community and people that aren't practicing teaching fitness?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the certification that I have now, it's a day-long certification for fitness professionals. So it's group fitness instructors, personal trainers, yoga instructors, spin instructors, anybody who's up in front of a group leading a fitness class. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody from the community can't come.
Sure.
Like the last one that I had with Mountainside, we did have, I think, 2 or 3 people who weren't group fitness instructors or personal trainers or in group fitness at all. And they came and they had a good time because it's, the training is 2-part. The first part is just all about the individual. So we talk about what the messages are that have formed your relationship with your body. Things like when you started your first diet, how your parents or your family has influenced your relationship and why you work out. And then what body positivity is and how it fits in the fitness world. And the second section is all about how to be a body positive coach. So like responsibilities, values, concrete strategies to promote this message in your classes. So, and I mean, it's classes or it could be in the world.
With friends, right? Or at the office. And yeah, totally. Because when you said people from the community came, I was like, how many times growing up were you like in the group, you know, the bathroom with your girlfriends and you're all picking each other apart like they do in Mean Girls, right?
Exactly.
Or, you know, you're at the office and somebody's like, oh, I can't have that. And that conversation gets started.
Mm-hmm. One of the sections that we have is actually how to respond to body shaming. So we do role playing.
That's great. And so, I mean, that's just so, I'm just so inspired that you took this passion and said, you know, not only is there a need for this, but like we can make it a certification. Like obviously you had to write a curriculum and like ask ASU to like come on as a client. Like what a process I'm sure that was.
Yeah.
I can't even.
It was a long process.
Tell me a little bit about like some of the most impactful moments at, you know, and if you can't pick one, maybe, you know, a couple at one of these workshops.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, so one of the things, so I'll say 2 things. So the first one was, is one of the exercises that we do is talking about ways that we've held ourselves back in life. So writing down the sentence, we all have our sentence. I won't do this until I this, right. until I look this way. Like, I won't go on that trip until I look a certain way. And while we were doing that activity, I think it was, someone shared with us that they had gone on a vacation with their family, and they had deleted all of the pictures of themselves from that vacation. So the family had taken pictures, and at night she went through all the pictures and deleted herself from them. And I know. And she was just telling us about how she couldn't stand to look at herself, but now thinking back on it, she is so sad that she deprived her family of being able to relive those memories with her, because they just had such a wonderful time together. And yeah, I mean, it just makes me think about how much we, you know, how much life we miss out on because we're so worried about how we look and how hard we are on ourselves.
Yeah.
So that was one.
So like going through the bodybuilding thing that I have and kind of coming to light after that and finding something, you know, finding a sport that values athletic ability and effort over looks and things like that. It's obviously taken me and a lot of my friends who have gone through similar journeys through this kind of enlightenment. But I think it's hard sometimes to express that to clients, whether it's my nutrition clients or members at the CrossFit gym that haven't had maybe that same experience, to help them kind of see that enlightenment without mm-hmm. going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an activity that you do or a practice that helps people reframe, you know, if somebody's going to the gym because they don't like their body, mm-hmm. how do you help them reframe that into mm-hmm. an intentional mm-hmm. good relationship with your body kind of thought?
That's a great question. Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah. It really is. And it, part of the reason that it's so hard is because it is so personal. And when we're talking about looks, like if you go to a personal trainer and you're like, hey, like I want a bigger butt, for example, that's like very surface. Like you don't have to talk about past. You don't have to talk about right. how you feel about yourself. You can just be like, oh yeah, everybody wants a big butt. Like, let's yeah. do it. I'll help you. Let's do these exercises, blah, blah, blah. And not really have that deeper connection. And I would say that in order to help someone shift their relationship with their body, I mean, one, I think it just starts with being aware of the kind of messages that you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people come into a fitness environment just not knowing a lot about fitness, or what they do know is shaped by this kind of message that we have on social media or on YouTube that fitness does and should look a certain way. And so should they, if they want to be fit. So I think it starts with just really simple messaging. Like, what are you doing with them when they come to the gym? Are you weighing them right away? Are you taking their measurements? Or are you asking them what their goals are in life? Like, what do you want to do with this new, like, physical capability? Do you want to hike the Grand Canyon? Do you want right. to, like, play with your grandkids? Like, where are you putting the emphasis as a fitness professional? And then I think as the relationship gets to be deeper or gets to be more connected, I think that's when you can share your own story. I mean, I think, the number one way to help them to realize what you have through your story without them having to live it is to just share with them.
Sure.
And then also, you know, asking them about their experience, because like more likely than not, they have experienced something similar.
Yeah.
I really am a strong believer in the power of conversation and, you know, real conversation
yeah.
and talking about like, why is it that we feel this way about ourselves? And not just being okay with, okay, you want a bigger butt, fine. But actually like digging a little deeper into the why, like, do you follow Kim Kardashian on Instagram? Like, can we get you to unfollow her and like follow someone more positive so
right.
that you have more positive vibes on your feed? Yeah. So that's what I would say.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So I guess we should define body positivity, because I think as a term, this or any term, gains popularity, sometimes the intent or the root of the word, gets misinterpreted. So how do you define body positivity?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was actually just talking about that yesterday on my Instagram about how body positivity is kind of getting a bad rep, even within the body positive community, which I think just happens again, like you said, with words that are, you know, used to encompass a large movement or, you know, a lot of different things. So for me, body positivity is one, a movement that aims to spread messages to encourage people to be kinder to themselves and their bodies. Two, it's a movement to create a society where more bodies feel accepted, represented, and loved. So I think about it twofold. So one, it's the individual journey. So you, your relationship with your body, how you can have a journey towards being more accepting towards your body. And I think that is where a lot of people get hung up, because they're like, I don't want to be body positive because I'm not positive about my body. And it just feels really ingenuine to them. So on that point, remembering that everybody is on their own journey.
Yeah.
And then two, the second part is like a societal movement. So inclusivity in terms of race, in terms of gender, in terms of ability, like seeing more bodies being represented, because I really believe that when we are exposed to more bodies and we are celebrating more bodies, then the perfect body is harder to define.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happens as a society and a community and within groups of girlfriends, I mean, kind of on every level, what happens socially when we all start being more body positive?
Oh, wonderful things happen. I mean, one, just from my own experience, it has really freed me up to do more things in life and really live my potential in new ways. Like when I'm spending less of my time focusing on how I look and how I'm going to get a six pack, I have more time to dedicate to my relationships, to dedicate to my entrepreneurial spirit, to my, you know, just my overall life. So I think it, one, enhances quality of life for the individual, and that will help us to, I mean, I it's a big problem for women. We know that. It's also a rising problem for men. But I mean, when I think about women, like, you know, when you have a bad hair day sometimes, or you have like a bad body image day, like it's hard to do anything.
Everything. It's like, then everything sucks that day and you have a bad day at work. And then like you're mean to your boyfriend when you get home, and totally.
Exactly.
Because it's not just a time sucker. It's like an energy sucker, and you only have so much.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think for so many women, it's just, it is taking a lot of their time. I think I saw yesterday that the average woman will spend an hour of her day on personal grooming. And like, ladies, we only have like 12 hours in the day. Like, we need to, like, a little bit longer than that. Like, we only have a couple hours in the day. Like, we need to use those to take down the patriarchy and to like advance ourselves and like kill the game.
So many other things we can be doing.
Yes. And, yeah. And so, sorry, what was the question again? I forgot.
No, I think I forgot too. Oh, what happens when like communities and when everybody starts being more body positive, how does that impact?
And then also, I think it gets into that culture of comparison, you know, like when we are constantly comparing ourselves to other women and to other women's bodies, we don't want them to succeed, you know, like we just want to be the best. And when we can say to ourselves, I am beautiful and so is she, and her beauty does not take away from my beauty. Yeah. That's when we can start to lift each other up. And that, I mean, I think will do wonders for our society.
Absolutely. I love that. It's just, that's something that I think is really a common theme in entrepreneurship, is like you taking more of the pie doesn't leave less pie for everybody else, right? So it's like you being more body positive doesn't take away from the other woman, you know, being just as confident. So what are some ways that listeners can practice being more body positive?
Oh, that's an awesome question. I think one, it starts with a little bit of awareness. So when I was first starting this journey, it was more about what I'm feeling and why, and examining that. No, it's not so much changing it, because changing and like going straight into the affirmations of I'm beautiful every day, it
feels disingenuous.
Yeah, it does not work for most people. So I started with just noticing what I was feeling. So when I was scrolling my Instagram and seeing pictures of girls with the quote perfect body, I was noticing that I was feeling bad about myself. And I would say that either aloud or to myself in my head, like, you are feeling bad right now because you feel inadequate compared to this woman and her body. And then just reminding myself, like, one, maybe that's not even how she looks. Like, she could be edited. She could be posed. Who knows? And also, like, I am worthy, even though I don't look like her. Like, I am worthy as I am. And even if those messages don't feel genuine at first, after a while, they really, really do help. And, that was the first step on my, journey towards body positivity. And I think also just two, being aware of the messages that you're surrounding yourself with. So what does your Instagram feed look like? Like, is it full of Fitspo accounts that make you feel like shit?
Yeah.
And does it need to be like that? Or can you be intentional about following some accounts that really promote body positivity, if that's the message that you need to hear right now? And then three, I would say just practicing what I like to call emotional hygiene. So that looks like being kind to yourself every day and finding practices where you are taking care of your body intentionally. So, like, maybe that's a yoga practice where you go into it thinking, I'm doing this to take care of my body because I love my body and this is my home for life. This is the only one I get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like self-care. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think self-care is like bubble baths and like candles, right? Mm-hmm. Like this. And people are like, we don't have time for that.
Right.
But it's absolutely just taking time for your emotional. I love emotional hygiene. It's a great term. Mm-hmm. And how do you find the balance between body positivity and, I'm sure there's a term for it, but, you know, like where people are proud to be 600 pounds or whatever it is, and people kind of criticize being okay with that. I think that it's probably hard to define that gray area between being okay if you're not healthy, mm-hmm. and maybe, you know, need to lose weight or something like that,
right.
and being body positive. How do you kind of find that balance?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's probably the biggest critique I hear about from the about body positivity, yeah. is that it's promoting unhealthy lifestyles. And that, to me, I mean, body positivity has its origins in the fat acceptance movement. So
fat acceptance, yeah. That's
I absolutely believe that being healthy and being thin is not a prerequisite to being respected, right? So even if we were to look at someone who is 600 pounds and proud and living their life like that, I don't think that the simple act of them existing and being confident in their skin is any threat to us, right? So that's my opinion on it. Like, I think that people in fat bodies there's incredible fat stigma in our society. But you can't necessarily tell how healthy someone is by looking at them.
Absolutely.
You know, like when I was at my thinnest, I was getting so much praise and nobody would look twice at me, but I was emotionally, mentally, physically unwell.
Yeah.
But nobody was going to tell me that I could take up less society or less space in society like they do to people in fat bodies. So, I mean, one, it's like, what are we so afraid of? Like, I hear people say, like, oh, we shouldn't have larger bodies in advertisements than gyms. I mean, one of my big messages is that we need more body diversity in fitness advertisements. And I mean, that to me is just ridiculous. Like, why would someone in a larger body being represented in a gym be promoting an unhealthy lifestyle? Like, we want those people in the gym,
yeah.
just as much as we would want someone who is in a quote fit body to be at the gym, right? So right. you can't be what you can't see. So representation is really, really important. But I also think it's really interesting that we assume that taking care of your body means like totally letting go and like right. not exercising and eating like crap, because to me it's like the exact opposite. Like, when I'm really body positive and I'm really taking care of my body, that's when I am eating foods that make me feel good. I'm exercising in ways that make me feel energized and happy and connected to a community. So that's how I would respond to that. Like, body positivity really, really is not promoting unhealthy lifestyles or unhealthy bodies. It's saying that we all just have bodies and we all should be accepted in the bodies that we have. And we should live in a society that says, like, no matter what you look like, we want to support you in living a life where you're taking care of your body.
Yeah, absolutely. And making it feel good and live a long time. And I love that. And don't you think it's weird that, like, it's socially acceptable to comment on other people's bodies? Like, yeah. I remember when I was at the last few weeks of, you know, before getting on stage, and I was really, really thin. And some people would come up to me at the gym and say, "You look too thin." Mm-hmm. And at the time, of course, you're trying to achieve, like, you know, the optimal level of thinness you can. And I remember thinking, if I was overweight, they wouldn't come up and tell me I was overweight. I mean, they probably right. would say it on social media, but they wouldn't come up and tell me. So why does it make it okay for them to come up and tell me I'm too thin? And it just seems like one of those, like, your body image doesn't impact my life. And if it does, I need to look inward about why that's bothering me.
Totally.
I just think that's weird.
Yeah. And ultimately people do it from a source of discomfort in themselves, right? I think that people are uncomfortable with seeing larger bodies represented because they themselves are afraid of becoming that person and facing that same level of social discrimination or condemnation almost.
Right.
I don't really understand this. Well, I do. I do understand this need to comment on people's bodies. One, because it's just lazy. Like, we are just, I mean, that's the first thing that we see.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even I have to catch myself when I'm, like, sitting at a bar and watching a sports game to, you know, because I'm not really a sports person, so I'm watching it and all I see is bodies running around. So,
right.
So for me to not comment on those people's bodies, because what you do when you're commenting on someone's body is you're assigning a... You're assigning a label to it, right? Yeah. So you're saying your body is too thin. That's telling you, like, you're doing something wrong. Like, right. Your body
you're
is
too
bad.
Something. Right. Right.
And we just need to move away from that because, like, they're this perfect body that we're seeing over and over again. Like, that body, maybe 5% of our population has the genes to look like that. And that might be with, like, excessive exercise and plastic surgery. But the rest of us, we're just chilling in these bodies that the universe or God or whatever higher power you believe in gave us. And we need to be able to live in these bodies and take care of them.
Yeah. And thrive.
And
I love that you talked about, you know, a couple questions ago about the awareness of it. And then you said again, like, being aware when you're watching a sports thing. You know, I was watching the American Idol auditions on Hulu the other night. And I almost said out loud to my friend, I almost said that this girl's teeth look really yellow because they totally did. Mm-hmm. But then I caught myself and I was like, why would I hate for somebody to say that on, you know, about me? And you would never hear it. Obviously, she's on the TV, but we're so quick because I don't know her to be like, well, her teeth look yellow.
Yeah.
And so I caught myself and then my friend said it.
I
almost said that, but I'm trying to be better.
Yeah.
That's funny. And, you know, something I saw this on, you know, social media or something a while ago, and it said something to the effect of, why do we treat other women the way we do when we know how hard it is to be a woman?
Yeah.
And that has just always stuck with me. Like, if I know how insecure I feel when I'm trying to get cute to go out with my friends and how insecure I can feel at the gym sometimes and all of the things that we all go through, why would I do that to somebody else?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you know exactly how it feels.
Totally. Yeah, that's a really, and it does just, it takes away from whatever they're doing. So the moment that we say, oh, that girl's teeth are yellow, then we're taking away from all the talent she has as an incredible singer, right?
Totally.
And so that's what our looks do.
You talked about at the beginning about how one of your main purposes and the purpose of BloomFit is to start the conversation. And I think that's so important because this is one of those taboo topics that, like, we talk about at the very surface level, like, you know, you'll talk about with your girlfriends that you're not happy with your body, but you're never going to usually get passed into the next part of that conversation. And I think that's huge because even if your friend isn't trained as a BloomFit certificated, you know, certified or a therapist, or just starting the conversation and building that awareness, I think can go a long way. And you talked about how the, you know, fitness industry, and just health industry in general is profiting off our insecurities. And it's funny because if you think about, like, what if so many more people were body positive? Like, what would happen to the supplement industry, right? And all these people that, like, sell guides on Instagram. And, like, all these people that are capitalizing on how vulnerable we are. Mm-hmm. Like, what would happen to those things?
Yeah, I mean, I really am hopeful that there is a shift coming. Like, I think that people are starting to be tired. Like, people are tired of hating their bodies. People are tired of being told that they need to look like something that they're never going to look like and chasing that ideal. And they're tired of being sold bullshit on, you know, fitness advice and nutrition advice from people who
look, have been blessed with these genes, but maybe don't have credentials past that. So I think that there's a wave coming. I mean, it feels good to be okay with your body.
Yeah.
And I think that people are going to start their journeys towards it. Like, there's this huge wave of self-love and like body positivity is really just catching steam. So yeah, I'm excited.
And what can people do in like social situations? You know, they listen to this podcast or they follow you on Instagram and start, you know, reading some of your blog posts and really getting more into kind of this community. What, and I'm like you said, you know, you dive into this in your workshop. So if you could maybe, you know, give me just a snippet, but like, you know, let's say I'm out with my girlfriends and someone makes a comment about how fat they feel. Mm-hmm. Like, what's an approach that somebody could take to a social situation or at the gym, that would help kind of start to move their social circle in the right direction?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing that I would say is probably not to, our first response when someone says, "Oh, I feel so fat," say, "No, you're not fat. You're beautiful."
Right.
Which is like, oh my God.
Doesn't help. Yeah.
No. I mean, I know plenty of people in larger bodies, people who identify as fat, themselves, who are gorgeous people in and out. So moving away from that, and I think just kind of as you're digging deeper into yourself, challenging others to dig deeper into themselves. So when someone tells me, "Oh my gosh, I feel so fat," like maybe asking them, "Oh, why do you feel that way? Like, did you eat something? Like, what are you feeling in your body? Like, is there a different way that you can describe what you're feeling? Like, maybe I'm feeling uncomfortable in my body. Maybe I'm feeling over full," something that's not just immediately putting themselves down.
Yeah. I like that. Kind of finding a different way to reframe it.
Yeah. And I mean, responding to body shaming is probably one of the hardest things. And so we do that in my workshop, and the three steps that I give is to, one, recognize them and their feelings. So for example, say I'm like, "Oh God, I feel so fat today." You can say like, "Oh, like, I'm sorry you're feeling that way." So recognizing that I'm feeling, validating my feelings. Two, like inquiring why. So like, why are you feeling that way? And then three, somehow reinforcing body positivity. So like, you know, maybe you just throw in a, like, you're great the way that you are, or, you know, some sort of statement that feels true to you that is taking their focus off of their body and, either reframing it in a more positive way or taking their attention off of it completely. Like,
yeah,
well, you know, that meal that we just had was freaking delicious. Like, I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Right.
And the time that we have together is so precious. Like, this is a really great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's so good. You know, it doesn't help if people are talking about a poor food choice or talking about something that in theory I could criticize or would criticize. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help for me to say, "Well, you should have done this," or "You should do this," right? That doesn't help anybody. So if I just lead by example and talk about how eating healthy makes me feel good and post about it, you know, then it's like, my girlfriends will want to feel that same way. And when it's genuine, they don't feel like, "Oh my God, she's so cocky." You know, if it's true and I'm like, "Wow, eating this way makes me feel better and perform better and inadvertently look better," I think people start to follow you without you ever having to point the finger and just living out the best version of you, which I think is similar in the body positive community.
Yeah, I think that, oh yeah, for sure. It is, I mean, on the topic of food, like, we just have so many emotions around food that we don't always take the time to like look at.
Absolutely. You know?
And I love that you're talking about how food makes you feel, because ultimately, like, food, yes, food is fuel, but food is also yummy and emotionally
satisfying. You can totally go the opposite side of the scale. Yeah.
Right. It is so much more than just calories in and calories out. And I love to see nutritionists like you, like, taking that message forward.
Thank
you. Awesome.
Thanks. If you could ask everyone to do something today that would change their life for the better, what would it be?
Oh, I love that question. I mean, I hate my initial reaction is to say like be less hard on yourself, but I hate doing that because I feel like it puts blame on people who have a hard time doing that. I would say, yeah, I mean,
Yeah, I would say be kinder to be kinder to yourself. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard to give yourself a break, because we all have grown up in this society where we feel like we have to be perfect or we have to be better all the time. But, you know, you're just so amazing the way that you are, and you have so much to offer the world outside of how you look. So be kinder to yourself, and know, even if it's just for me, that you are beautiful outside of your flat stomach, outside of your face, outside of your stomach, outside of your face, outside of anything that we can see. Like, you just have so much light and love to give to the world. So be kind to yourself and go spread that.
And I think it's an important point that, you know, this is a journey, right? Like, it's not something where you're going to do a couple affirmations this week and you're going to feel better and like be able to speak to this like you are. And I would imagine, I won't speak for you, that you struggle with this from time to time, right? Like, it's not something you've perfected. And so I think that's an important take home point, is that this isn't a when I feel body positive, because then you're going back to the same thing. So what's your vision for the future of the BloomFit project, or what are you working on next?
So my vision for BloomFit is to take over the fitness industry. So I have a workshop up next in San Diego on the 21st downtown, and I'm really excited to take BloomFit outside of Arizona, because we have a wonderful partnership with ASU and with Mountainside. And so now I'm just taking it out of the state, and I want to one, start this conversation in a lot of different areas all around the nation. And two, I want to create a community of instructors, and then eventually of just people where we can come together and talk about this. So a community where you know that you can come and safely talk about your struggles with your body image, and some people who will support you on your journey of self-acceptance. Because like you said, it is a journey and a half. Like, there are definitely days where I feel like really down on myself and comparing myself to others, and I get back into that really terrible feeling. And when I'm at that low point, that's when I remember how important it is to keep this message going, because, you know, when I'm not feeling like that, it's my life is completely different.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Love that. Before I let you go, I have one final question. What do you believe are the ingredients of a healthy life?
What I believe are ingredients of a healthy life. I think one, relationships, my friendships, my family, my romantic relationship, like it, is so much a part of my happiness. Like, I think it's really important to be able to be with yourself and to be by yourself. But it's also really important to have a community and to have people that really, that you can love fully, and that love you fully and will welcome you with open arms and support you. So one, relationships, two, movement. I am not a desk job person. I have to be moving my body at least every day.
Yeah.
And it really just helps me stay sane. Like, I love yoga, and that has helped me really connect with myself and connect with mindfulness and being in this present moment. And so just finding a movement practice that speaks to you and speaks to your life. Like, I think a lot of people get caught up on the, oh, I have to run because, you know, it's good for cardio, or I have to weightlift because whatever, but, program for you is the one that you'll actually do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So find movement that makes you feel good and that supports your lifestyle. And then three, fun. Just fun. Like, most time when I am working on stuff with Bloom, I like really just feel like I'm playing. Like, yeah. It's just like, we all are so unique, and we all have something to give to this world. And whether it be starting a business or just, you know, like, being able to make really good cookies and give them to your friends, like, whatever it is that you have, like, that you have something unique and you can make the world a better place by spreading that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I heard something one time that was like, I forget what, how they phrased it, but it was something like, what's your ah moment? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, when you go out in the woods, when you haven't been in like nature in a long time and you take this deep breath and you're just like so engulfed in like, you know, nature's beauty. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we can't all go out to the woods every day or as often as we need to have that moment. So find that thing that you can do regularly that gives you that moment. Mm-hmm.
Before you head out, just a few quick things. Any links or recommendations discussed in this interview are in the show notes of this episode, so you can find those there. Secondly, if you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast because I have lots of good stuff coming and I don't want you to miss out. This episode is made possible by Hey Presley Nutrition, which is my nutrition coaching company that provides an incredibly unique, sustainable, and personal approach to reaching your goals. To support the podcast and take control of your health, head over to heypresley.com to learn more about my monthly coaching. And don't forget to enter podcast as your promo code, all one word, for a discount on your first month. Lastly, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you have any questions for me, suggestions for the show, or just want to spread the love, find me on Instagram at heypresley or head over to heypresley.com/podcast. Until next time, continue living your healthiest, happiest life, and we'll chat soon.